Acts 13 in one hand and Romans chapter 15 in the other. So, if you are visiting with us here this morning, as has already been said, this is not what we would normally do. We commemorate the first Sunday in November every year as the first time that Grace Life Bible Church came together and met as a church. And so we do that by designating this particular Sunday as being the time when we have an annual meeting. I say some things as the pastor from the Scriptures, out of the Word of God, reminding folks about some things about how the church came into existence and what the goals and the purposes are of the assembly from the Scriptures. And then, so I'm going to do that first, and then when I'm done with that, Brother Wayne is going to come as the treasurer, and he is going to present to you the budget and some things, go over some things pertaining to the financial situation with respect to the assembly. And maybe it's corny, I don't know, but we call it the State of the Assembly Address. And this started 8 years ago. We did it for the first time when we were still meeting in the shop there, Wayne's shop at Apex. And we've been doing it every year since. And we're going to follow up our meeting by enjoying some cake and just having some fellowship and hopefully celebrating the fact that we've made it this far, 8 years, going into our ninth year now. And it's a real blessing to think about those things. So if I were visiting a church, you know, you might say, well, I would want to hear what the preaching was about. I want to hear the pastor give a sermon. And I agree with you. That's what I would do. But another thing I would want to know is, how does this church conduct their business? How do they handle their affairs and so forth? Well, if you're here for the first time, that's what you're going to see this morning is how the assembly functions and runs and so forth. And maybe if that's not what you were particularly looking for, you'll be able to come back and see that next week when we continue with our study of 1 Corinthians. So the State of the Assembly Address 2015. And as you think about this, we first met 8 years ago in the shop at Apex Spring and Stamping just down the road here in Standale. The first meeting was attended by about 30 folks who were a combination of those who had left the church up in Muskegon, Michigan, and those who had been a part of a Bible study that I had been leading up in Cedar Springs, Michigan. And we came together not 8 years ago, toward the end of October, and met for the first time. And there were 30 of us in that first meeting, and an infamous comment was made by me that I'm not going to repeat at this point. But the point is that the core ministry, what I'm about to go over with you this morning, is the same information in an abbreviated form that I taught those saints that very first time we met 8 years ago at Apex. When I decided that it was time to, through a host of reasons, resign from Westside Grace Church in Muskegon, Michigan, Brother Nash came to my house and he sat in my living room and he said, are you done with the ministry? And I said, no. And it was through that conversation that Brother Nash agreed to support me financially for a year moving forward while we started a church. And that turned into 2 years, and then we moved here, and it's turned into what it's turned into, and it's been a journey and a growth process like Brother Todd said earlier. And so, after 8 years, a lot has changed, but not much has changed. A lot of things are different, but we're still fundamentally at the core standing for the same things we were standing for 8 years ago. And I just want to take some moments here to remind everybody about Paul's core ministry strategy and about what it is that we are about here at Grace Life Bible Church. Come with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is sent out on his first apostolic journey. And if you think about this, look at verse 2. Acts 13, verse 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. When the church in Antioch there identifies Paul and Barnabas, and it says that there's a work that God's called them unto, and they lay hands on them and they send them out to do the ministry, what you have to understand is that Paul is going out into a first century Roman world. He's going out into a pagan culture, if ever there was one, where there are literally no churches. There are no assemblies, there are no communities of believers, there are no folks that are out there meeting and congregating around the Word of God, and Paul is going out and he's literally starting from scratch. He's starting from with nothing being out there except a world full of lost people and a world full of lost souls. And they go out, he and Barnabas there, in that first apostolic journey, out into that culture, out into that world, and they start to teach and to preach the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Paul calls my gospel, and they also start to teach and preach the issues related to the dispensation of grace and the revelation of the mystery committed to the Apostle Paul, and they go out and they have a ministry and they conduct their affairs. Come with me to Romans chapter 15. This is a time period, folks, of about 10 to 12 years, as it says in the notes. When Paul starts, there's nothing. When he writes the book of Romans around Acts chapter 20, he makes a very, very fascinating statement here about the ministry that has gone on between Acts 13 when he is sent and Acts chapter 20 when he writes the book of Romans. He says this. Look with me at Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. He says, "For I myself am persuaded of you, brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, and putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to who? To the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Skip down to verse 19. He says, "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." And then he says in verse 20, "Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was what? Named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." Paul says, as of Acts chapter 20, when Paul writes the book of Romans, he looks out there at that first century Roman world and he says, all the way from Jerusalem, all the way around about to Illyricum, he says, which is in Macedonia, he says, "I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." And he did it by following a strategy. He did it by following and conducting his ministry in a particular way. And it is a shocking, astonishing statement that Paul makes here when you consider the world that he leaves and goes out into in Acts chapter 13. And so he says that he went that from Jerusalem all the way over to Illyricum, he has fully preached the gospel. Which means Paul did something specific. He had a plan, he had a purpose, he had a means by which he was doing what he was doing. So in Acts 13, as I just said, there are no churches in these provinces, Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, and Asia. And by Acts 20, when Paul writes Romans, Paul could speak as if the work there was done and could plan extensive journeys into the far west without being worried about the churches that he was leaving behind. The Apostle Paul's ministry is so extensive in such a short period of time that you have to ask yourself, how is this able to be done? And I just read those things. Drop down, you're still in Romans 15. Drop down with me to verse 22. "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire that these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into where?" Paul says, "I've done it." He looks at the map, he says, from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I fully preach the gospel. There's nowhere else for me to preach the gospel where another man hasn't already preached it. And so now it's my desire. I've wanted to come to you, Romans, for some time. Now I'm going to come, and hopefully I'm not only going to come to you, but I'm going to go all the way to where? Spain. And so the Apostle Paul has a strategy. He has a plan. He has a purpose of what he's trying to accomplish. How was Paul able to accomplish this amazing feat? How was he able to do this? First, he evangelized strategic cities and established beachheads of believers. I said it a lot, and I don't mean to offend the Rixies who live in Marne, but if I'm going to reach West Michigan, where do I want to go? I want to go to Grand Rapids. Why do I want to have a ministry in Grand Rapids? I want to have a ministry in Grand Rapids because it's the second biggest city in the state of Michigan. It's the largest city on this side of the state, and if you want to reach the people, you go to where the people what? Are. And you establish a church, you establish a local ministry, you get some folks saved, you get them edified in sound doctrine, And from that spot and from that locality and from that place, you are able to minister now out into the surrounding areas. And Paul, he targeted strategic cities. He goes to the largest metropolitan areas of his day, and he goes into those cities and he preaches the gospel with the goal of evangelizing those people in those cities and establishing a collection of believers. And once he has that collection of believers established, and he's taught them about Christ's death on the cross for their sin, His shed blood, His resurrection from the dead, and so forth, and he's got them understanding that and believing that, and they're saved, now he takes this community, this collection of believers that he's evangelized, and he takes them the second step, and he tries to seek to edify them in sound doctrine. Come over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Come over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Brother John, last Sunday, touched on this in his study to close out our conference. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be what? Saved and to come unto the knowledge of what? The truth. Paul, the will of God for you and I in the dispensation of grace, the dispensation that we live in today, is number one, for all men to be what? Saved. For all men to have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death upon the cross for their sin, His resurrection from the dead, and for them to place their faith in that and that alone. Not religion, not churches, not formal structures, not how much money you put in the offering plate, not how many times you've been to church and done your good deeds and so forth, but to rely and trust exclusively on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then once you understand that, once you're justified, then Paul took those folks and he moved them on to the second step, which was to edify them in sound doctrine and to build them up so that they would come not only to a knowledge of salvation, but they would come second to a knowledge of what? The truth of what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace with the church, the body of Christ. And once he's got them evangelized, and once he has them edified in sound doctrine, then he established these folks into organized local churches that were able to do the work of the ministry. That Paul could establish those churches, he could turn those churches over, which is the next point. He then enlisted key men that could be trained to carry on the work and lead the churches in his absence. Paul goes in, we're studying Corinthians, right? How long was he in Corinth? 18 months, we've learned, right? Paul goes in 18 months, he evangelizes, he edifies, he looks at the assembly, he tries to identify, he establishes them together as a local church, and then he goes in there and he tries to enlist and identify men that can do the work of the ministry in his absence so that he can get them set up and structuring under some elders and so he can leave and go on to the next what? To the next city. And do it what? Do it again. And last, once you have evangelized, edified saints established in a local church that have men, enlisted men that are elders in the assembly that are there, then forth that assembly as a fully functioning independent church has the capacity and the responsibility to take that gospel message, to take that edification and teach and expand out from that spot. And so there's a pattern here for how the ministry is going to be duplicated in Paul's mind. Let's look at a few verses. Come with me to Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. I don't want to labor this point. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every what? City where we have preached the word. Come with me to Acts 16, look at verse 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. Where's Paul going? Is Paul going out by me in Greenville? There's a road. I laugh at it. The name of the road is Podunk. That's the name of the road. When I used to live in Cedar Springs and I'd drive into work and my wife and I would make jokes about Podunk. Now we live like three roads from there. But Paul's not going to Podunk, folks. He's going to Philippi. He's going to the chief city of that area of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and he's going to go there and start a church. Because he knows that all of the commerce, all of the trade, all of the life and the culture is going to flow through that what? That city. And if he wants to impact these surrounding areas, he establishes that church there, in that spot, in that location. Come over to Acts 17. In Acts 17, he goes to Athens and so forth. Acts 18, he's in Corinth. Acts 19, he's in Ephesus. We don't have to look at all these verses, right? Because he's following the strategy and he's duplicating it. And the strategy is laid out for you in the Scripture if you're going to pay attention, and it's there for you and I to understand, to use, and to duplicate ourselves. He organized and established the elders. Come to Acts 20. Now I do want you to go to Acts 20. The elders are going to have oversight over these self-sufficient, independent local churches. He calls together the Ephesian elders. Go back to verse 17, Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of what? The church. Acts 20, drop down to verse 28. He tells the elders, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the what? The flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, to warn everyone night and day with tears. See, Paul takes these local, he takes these elders and he gives them a job. Their job is the doctrinal oversight of the local assembly to protect the church from error, from those that would come from without into the assembly seeking to sow doctrinal discord and dissension among the brethren. But he also warns them to be aware from those from within their own what? Their own ranks from within their own midst that would rise up. But he establishes the local churches and the assemblies. He ordains the elders. The elders have the job, the task of running and overseeing that those local assemblies. And so the duly appointed elders are instructed to follow and teach the Pauline design for the edification of the believer. And Paul's desire was that the local church would lead the grace life, that the saints would lead it in their homes, in their jobs, and in the local church with the other saints. Come with me to Philemon 24. Philemon verse 24. He says, salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in who? I'm in Philemon, verse 24. I'm sorry, Marcus, verse 23 and 24. There salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. What's he call those guys? My fellow what? See, here's the thing. Could Paul do this by himself? What did Paul need to have? He needed to have faithful men. He needed to have fellow laborers. He needed to have those that would come alongside of him and partake in the ministry with him. Go over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, in Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow what? Workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. See, can Paul do this by himself? No. The elders in the church can't do it all by themselves. Do you want to know why that is? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God the Holy Spirit has tempered the body together. And we are all members in particular of another. And there is such a thing as leadership in the local assembly, but the leadership is to work together around the Word of God to make sure that the church is functioning. And so from this, folks, we've identified a series of ministry priorities for this church, for this local assembly. Number one is edification. Establish the saints of all ages in Pauline sound doctrine and the principles of the grace life. So when you think about things like adult Sunday school, this main service, the children's church, the Friday night Bible study, the youth group that Brother Nate has started, the ladies' conference, the men's breakfast, the fall Bible conference, all the websites, etc. All those ministries of the church are designed for the purpose of trying to edify the saints in sound doctrine. We believe that it is our responsibility, secondly, to be the body. Come with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. To understand what I just said a moment ago about how the body of Christ is put together and how it has been tempered together as God the Holy Spirit has saw fit. And that no man, there's a song out there right now on Christian radio, and I don't think the guy that sings it means what I'm about to say, but he says that no man is an island. See, when you and I, as members of the Church, the Body of Christ, when we go off and we try to live our Christian life in seclusion, when things get busy and they get tough, and things out there with your job and your family get overwhelming, right? There's a tendency to withdraw, and one of the first things that folks withdraw from is the local church. And when you withdraw from the local church, and when you withdraw from the community of believers, that your individual life suffers. Because you are not designed, I was not designed, you were not designed as believers to live the Christian life, to live the grace life without fellowship from other what? Believers. Without the encouragement that the local church is to provide. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. And those members of the body which seem to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, now watch, but that the members should have the same care, what? One for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Ye are the body of Christ and members how? In particular. So number one, we see the issue of edification. Number two, we see the issue of the need to be the body of Christ together, not just in our families, but together as a local church. And third, the responsibility of the elders and of the assembly, come over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, is to identify within the assembly faithful men. Men who are going to be able to be taught, who have a desire to be taught, not just to be taught for their own benefit and for their own study, but also have the desire to take what they are being given and take the input of the doctrine into their life, and also have a desire to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who? Faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others what? Also, Brother Jordan has said it, and I believe that he's correct. My ministry with you is not done until you take what you've learned and you teach someone else. Because that is how the truth is passed on from generation to what? Generation. And it's the job of the local assembly. It's the job of Timothy, an elder in the assembly, to look at the congregation, to identify faithful men, and to take those faithful men and to teach them the doctrine so that then they can take the doctrine and teach others also. And to enlist, identify willing men who are established in the faith and in edification and encouragement to establish the saints as elders and deacons in the church. Now, you'll notice that I have evangelism last. Some would say it should be first.
I'm not saying evangelism is not important because I just read the verse where Paul says it's the will of God that all men be what? But see, evangelism works the best when you have properly edified saints who have come to understand the doctrine and know what God is doing and are clear about how God is saving people, to then go out and take what they know and give it to others. It's not there in terms of it's last, not because it's the least important, but because there's a progression. Properly edified and mature saints will have a heart for evangelism and seeking and seeing lost souls get saved. It's by doing the work of an evangelist that full proof of the ministry is made. You're in 2 Timothy, go to chapter 4, look at verse 5. He says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of what? An evangelist." Now watch how that verse ends. "Make full proof of thy what? Thy ministry." The things we do here, Vacation Bible School, the Easter breakfast, the Christmas fellowship, the personal evangelism, and other things are done for that purpose. So everything that we do as an assembly needs to be tied into one of these five scriptural priorities. It has to be tied either, number one, to edification, number two, to being the body, number three, to training faithful men, number three, to enlisting faithful men to participate in the work of the ministry, number four, number five, to evangelism and so forth. And we are still, I told you we were going to do this last year, the elders of this assembly are still in the middle of going through the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus to make sure that those five things are, in fact, the things that Paul would have us to be doing as a local church. It's been slow, but we're doing it. Okay? Because we're trying to have a ministry that is duplicating how Paul... Now, we need to be emulating Paul, not just in the doctrine that we teach, but in the way that we practice what we preach. In the way we do the ministry, in the way the ministry is conducted. And so, as you think about the last year, since the last time I stood here and we talked about these things, I want to go over a summary of the accomplishments of the last year. Now, this is just a summary, and I'm sure there's things that I've overlooked that should be added here. But number one, we have successfully secured a mortgage with Mercantile Bank and have continued to pay it down. If you think back 2 years from when I stood up here and did this, and I presented to you the fact that we might have to, if something didn't change, we would have to vacate the building and so forth. You remember that? We've moved beyond that to a point now where not only are we making our payments and so forth, but we've been able to pay down the debt and get out from underneath where we were. I don't mean it to say negatively, but now we're standing by ourselves as an independent church with a mortgage with a bank. How many of you thought that was possible 2 years ago? We've done that. You should be happy about that. I'm happy about that. You can say amen, you know, if you want, but if you don't want to, that's fine. The ladies hosted another successful ladies' conference this year, and there's been a reboot of the ladies' fall Bible study this fall. We finished going through the Grace History Project in the adult Sunday school and have started a new class related to the King James Bible. Aaron and others helped run another successful Vacation Bible School here at the assembly. We've seen fellowship opportunities through the Grace Sisterhood and the picnic and the Whitecaps game and other things, outings that Kelly Hendrickson and others have put together. We've been able, through Nate and Kristen's ministry among us, to restructure the teen class and launch a youth group, which has been long overdue. And we hosted a widely successful Bible conference this past weekend on issues related to grace in our culture. I don't know where Todd is right now, but there was a moment last Sunday when we were singing 10,000 Reasons. And I just was standing here next to Todd, and I turned to Todd and I said, "We got a pretty awesome church, don't we?" "We do. I believe that we do. Do we have our challenges? Yeah. Sometimes do we have issues that are hard to deal with? Yeah.
Well, we have an awesome church. There's, and I've got my glasses off so I can't see any of you face to face lest I shed a tear. Okay? But there's no place I'd rather be preaching on a Sunday morning where there's life, where there's vitality, where there's energy, where there's things happening.
We had visitors from other churches here. I don't want to use anyone's name and get anyone in trouble, but a couple came up to me and they said, you guys are showing that you can do certain things and maintain the integrity of the doctrine. Maintain a clear, consistent, faithful witness and stand not only for the Word of God as it stands in the King James Bible, but also for its right division and being taught.
We have some folks that support us online. You guys have never met these people. One of them, and I'm going to use his name, a brother named John Garibay, came all the way last weekend from Pennsylvania. Brother Garibay makes regular, faithful contributions to the assembly, financial contributions via PayPal. And I didn't want to embarrass him. I didn't want to, but he wrote me an email. I wrote him an email thanking him for his recent donation to the church and also for coming last weekend. And here's what he said. He said, "We enjoyed the conference very much. We were thrilled to finally make it to this one, and it certainly showed that the money God has enabled us to support you with is being very effectively used to further the teaching of His Word rightly divided and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. We especially enjoyed the fellowship with Wayne Nash and Norman Beverly Price. Thank you for all that you do and for your congregation. You folks are in our prayers daily."
The ministry that you're involved in here is reaching people in places that you have no idea. I was looking at the report that I get on the Grace History Project website, and it tells me that within the last 15 days, there's a concentration of hits on that website from people that are living in Russia. Okay? I also received this email from Brother John Verstegen, one of our speakers. He says, "Hi, Brian. I wanted to express my thanks to you, your wife and family, and the saints of your local ministry for the opportunity, privilege, and blessing of allowing me to participate in your conference. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with you all. I think of the passage in Philemon 7 where he says, 'The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother.' Well, to put it differently, my bowels were refreshed by thee and the saints there. The whole weekend seemed to go very well. The theme was relevant. The messages flowed together. And the saints seemed to be encouraged, edified, and challenged." This is the part I really want you to hear. He says, "You have a really great ministry there. One that can be used as a model for starting, establishing, and growing other grace ministries. Not unlike the example with the Thessalonians. No doubt it is due to your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word rightly divided, your willingness to stay humble, etc. The days are getting darker and apostasy abounds, not just in Christianity at large, but even within grace circles. With love, grace, and mercy, yours in Christ, John Verstegen." Brother Matt called me with similar sentiments. Folks, what I want you to understand is that people that come here from outside, they see what I see. They see what you folks know to be true about this assembly. This isn't supposed to, I feel like this is somber. This isn't supposed to be like, you know, anyway. So before I turn this over to Wayne, there's some things I want to go over for the next year to be thinking about. The first one is conference follow-up. I've been overwhelmed by the amount of feedback that I have gotten this week, not just from people from other places, but from you folks that are part of the assembly. And I've already talked to some of the elders here on the phone about how can we follow up with some of the issues that were raised at the conference last weekend. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know exactly how that's going to happen. But I have it on my heart, as my wife does on hers, to take some of the practical things that were talked about and not just let them die with the conference ending, but to take them and build upon them and continue to grow and build up and edify the saints of this assembly and have the conference be something that reaches into the future and impacts us, not just that one weekend, but on a continuing basis. So the board is going to be discussing how to do that and what that's going to look like, and we'll have more to say to you about that in the coming days. The second thing, folks, is to just say we need to maintain our current ministries. The nursery, the children's church, the sweeping saints, the youth group, the audiovisual, the internet, the media, all the different things. We just need to continue to work together at maintaining the current ministries that the assembly has. Third, we need to continue the process of building our youth group. Brother Nate and Kristen here, they have stepped up to this challenge and have done well, very well so far, and they need your prayers, okay, as they do this. And they also need your help and your support if you're able to do that with them at the different events and the different things that we're trying to do with the young people. We still, Sister Anna has stepped up and said she would be willing to organize events, and we did some of that here recently with the picnic, which unfortunately got rained out, but that wasn't her fault, and with the Whitecaps outing, and we were going to play softball, that got rained out too, but to coordinate some events and continue to have opportunities for just fellowship amongst the saints. And I would like to see one of those events be some sort of a ministry outreach, whether it be a table or a booth at Art Prize or something of that nature, where the church can get out there into the community and get our message to the people of Grand Rapids. And we need to continue the process of training faithful men within our assembly. We have options here with the Wright Division 101 course that we put together, the Grace History Project, the King James class that's in progress, and we want to also to continue offering teaching opportunities through interested men throughout the year. And a lot of this stuff is just continuing to do what we've already done, but there is one new one that we need to talk about. The board, the elders are actively taking steps to protect the assembly with respect to the same-sex marriage issue. This is taking a few different avenues. Number one, we're working on drafting a statement on marriage to be added to the doctrinal statement. Number two, we're looking at any other church documents that may need to be altered or changed, the language or wording. Number three, Brother Nash, he'll say a few things about this, I believe, in a minute. We're looking at insurance protections for the assembly. Should there be a lawsuit where, you know, somebody wants to go after us because we refuse to marry somebody? So there's a lot of things that we're trying to sort through on these issues that are going to be on our plate as elders moving in to the year 9 in the board meetings. So we need your prayers for those issues. We want to put together something that is in line with the way we should think about things scripturally, but also is not legalistic and overbearing, and but is done in the spirit in a spirit of grace. And so we have some challenging things to try to wade through on these issues. So these are all things for your consideration as we move into another year. If you want to be a part of the board meetings, I'll put both these points up here at the same time. The meetings are structured where there is an open agenda portion and a closed agenda portion. If you want to bring something to the attention of the board, we ask that you submit something in writing for our consideration before you come to a meeting, and then we'll ask you to come and we'll organize that and so forth. And if you want to come and participate in the discussion on any of these matters, particularly related to the same-sex marriage issues and so forth, you know, there's an avenue for you to do that and to participate in the activities of the board in that area. But there's an open agenda portion first and then a closed agenda portion first. When we make our way through the open portion, then we dismiss those folks that are not elders and we move on to the second part of the meeting, which is the closed agenda portion of the meeting. So I want you to be aware of that. And just a few other things. We continue to experience ongoing need in the following areas.
We always need help with children's ministries, nursery through the teenage years. The whole gamut, if you want to help, we'll take it. The same few men are always running the audiovisual board. If you have a desire or an interest to do that, I'm sure they would like to sit with their wives upon occasion at church. So we have needs there. If there's any of you that are particularly tech savvy, I would like to see us create a podcast. I don't know how to do that. All of our audios are up in MP3, but I would like to see us create our own podcast on iTunes that people could subscribe to and get the messages sent to them automatically via subscription. There's an opportunity there. Other social media opportunities beyond Facebook and YouTube. If you are tech savvy and you have ideas or skills in any of these areas, let us know, and I want to have conversations about how we can do those things and expand out. And last, we just continue to need your prayers. Okay? Folks, what we're doing here as Grace Life Bible Church is unique. What we're trying to do is we're trying to follow the pattern set by our Apostle Paul. And I hope everybody can sort of, I don't have any crisis bells or alarms to sound this year. I just want to encourage you and commend you to keep on keeping on. To hold the course. To hold the line. And to continue with your faithful support and ministry here at the assembly. I'm gonna sort of close this out with a word of prayer, and then I'm gonna call Wayne forward. And Wayne is going to go over some things about the financial situation. And then when he's done, I'll come back up. We'll have a closing word of prayer. We'll call the musicians up. We'll close. And then we'll enjoy some cake and ice cream together. Yes, there is ice cream. You know, in my house, it's not really dessert unless there's ice cream. Okay. Much to my wife's chagrin. She gets tired of the ice cream. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word and for these saints. Lord, we just pray that as we are here for the eighth time and looking at year nine ahead of us, that we can appreciate where we've come from. That we can appreciate the work that has been accomplished collectively as a group. And that we can still see the vision as we look out at a city that needs to hear this message, that needs to know how to be saved clearly, that needs to understand what you are doing today, that needs to understand what it means to be a member of the church, the body of Christ, who understands what you're doing today in the dispensation of grace. Lord, we pray that we will have appreciation for where we've come and hopefulness for where we're going. I appreciate every single member of the body of Christ here that has ever taught, pushed the vacuum, mowed the lawn, plowed the parking lot, sat in the sound booth, worked with the kids, led singing, paid the bills, sat in a board meeting, and been involved in any way, shape, manner, or form in the ministry. Because we understand from what Paul says, the ministry is not possible without fellow laborers, without fellow workers, without those, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, who have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We pray now that as we move on, and Wayne presents a few things regarding the financial situation, and we move on after that into our celebration, Lord, we just pray that we'll have just the heart of thanksgiving and gratitude for all that you've done in and through us in this assembly. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, good morning, loved ones. Good morning. First of all, I need J. Joel Rixey, I can see you through this little sliver of a glass. You don't have to get up, son. You just have to wave at me if you're hearing me okay. All right. So, first of all, that was my way of sound checking. Brother Steve and Brother Todd are handing out packets to you. Each one of you can have your own individual packet, and we'll go through those. Like Pastor Brian has mentioned, he is challenged in certain areas of technology. One is an, what would you call it, an iPod?
Podcast.
See, I mess it up. I can't do PowerPoint. So what you get from me is really interaction, because you can be involved in this and you can see how rudimentary I am in certain things. But before we do that, folks, while they're handing that out, I know you're already looking at it, and I'm not going to try to stop you because I'd be in the same situation rather than listening to whoever was speaking up here. But there's a couple things I want to take the advantage of the pulpit because Pastor's going to close. First of all, if any of you want a mailbox, if you have not had a mailbox and you think this is now the time that you're involved in this ministry enough that you want to be able to have a place to keep offering envelopes and notes from Sunday school if you miss it, and how other people can maybe put a card in your mailbox to encourage you, or etc., you need to either see Mrs. Erspommer, Sylvia, Mr. Amaral, David, or myself. Now, I can't speak for those two, but if you're going to see me on this, or if you also want to be involved in the midweek notification as to messages that we think you need to be aware of, that's either by email, text, or phone. Again, you see the three individuals. But when you come to see me, you better have a piece of paper in your hand with your name. You can't tell me. I'll forget it, saints, okay? I know I will. So it'll make it a lot easier for you and to me if you just give it to me on a piece of paper. I'll see to it that it gets to either David or Sylvia. If you want to go with those two and think that they can retain all that, they probably can, then you just stand in front of them. And I'm getting nods already, and it's not this way, it's this way. So maybe you just do paper for everybody, okay? That's number one. Number two is the afterglow of the conference. We had a sign-up sheet for the messages, and the sheet said DVD. DVD, of course, is, what is it? It's not audio, it's visual. Okay, video. That's right. And I know, well, first of all, there's 11 of you saints here that have signed up for the DVDs. But I know some of you, and you don't want DVDs because you never get them from me, you always get the CDs. So before I go out and make 8 copies of the messages, and thank you, Kurt, wherever you are, for doing all that for me so I can finish my part, you need to go out into the hallway. You'll see the list there. I've highlighted your name. I just need you to write down next to your name if it is actually a DVD, or no, I didn't know it was going to be a DVD. I can't do DVD. I can only do CDs. But I don't want to make these up and only be told that this isn't what you want. So you need to do that. And saints, I'm putting you under the law here, okay? If you don't do it, if I don't see some confirmation next to your name, you're not getting them. I'll come and find you, okay? But you're not going to get them until you go ahead and help me make certain it's done the right way. Okay, with that being said, 8 years, and I remember not quite the first Sunday that we started, but a couple Sundays thereafter when most of the saints and everything were regular, and we gathered, of course, where Pastor Brian sat, and offering was taken all the way up through today. But there are a couple families in this assembly, when they give their offering, and they do it by check, on that memo line, they write a scripture verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. What is that verse? What is it? That's exactly right. Thank you, Pastor Craig. All right? The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Well, you folks have been ecstatic this past year. Okay? It is a wonderful time to come to you this year with the financial state of this assembly and what has been accomplished through your giving of what God has blessed you with. And so I want to go over those numbers with you if I can. So as I mentioned before, you have clipped three separate documents. So you can now take the paper clip off. Don't put them in your the paper clip in your pocket, men, because when it goes through the wash machine, it'll ruin a good wringer, and then you're going to have wash machine repairs. So you take the paper clip off, and right now I'm only concerned with the top one that is stapled. That's all you need to be concerned with right now is the three pages that are stapled together. And at the very top of those pages is the words income and expense report. This is how the money came in, and this is how it went out from November of last year all the way up until yesterday. Now, I'm not going to go through all those, and I know that you folks would like to go through all of them, but I'm going to help you, guide you through the ones I think that are of importance that you need to focus on. And then if you have any questions on these, you can see me afterwards, and I will give you a more detailed explanation. But first of all, the sources of income. I want to draw your attention to Debt Reduction Sunday. That is the fifth Sunday of every year. We go and take a special offering for debt reduction that will go against the principal of the mortgage that's owed. Thus far, we have accumulated $2,635. After this meeting, at our next board meeting, the board will go ahead and they'll give final approval that we will now take those funds and we will apply them to the mortgage principal, and that will reduce the mortgage going forward. So you folks need to be aware of that. You have arrows, of course, on the right-hand side. Your first arrow that is pointing at two numbers there, there is the total offerings from the saints. That is $85,215.20. That is all from everyone in this building. It has nothing to do with PayPal. It has nothing to do from saints who have come here and left and support us. So it's $85,215. Now from others, you show $3,550. Those saints are individuals who have been with us for a while, and maybe because of distance, they moved, for whatever reason, they have moved away, are not able to attend on a regular basis, but the ministry is still important to them, and they mail us a check, usually weekly or twice a month, for the support. I'm going to mention one right now, and that is Bill and Jackie Hill. They came faithfully for the first 2 or 3 years. Bill and Jackie feel that they have a ministry that they need to be involved in and up in White Cloud, but still they support the ministry. They know this is God's dispensation for us today for the word rightly divided. And so those type of individuals contribute. So that's where the $3,550. So you add all those up above, and it comes to now a total of $88,765. Then as you go down the other sources of income, I'm not going to go through all of them, you'll see the arrow is pointing to PayPal deposits. That's a total of $6,140. Okay? Again, Pastor Brian has mentioned the Garibay family, both John and Marty. And I know that John is going to see this because this is going to get broadcast, I guess, on the website. But I was talking to John and Marty, and they are faithful supporters of this ministry. They are over 300 miles away from a Grace Church. And that's just amazing, you know, that we have such a luxury. I know some of us have to drive maybe 15 or 20 miles, and some of you more than that. I realize that. But for to be this far away from a Grace Church and have no outreach, they love this ministry. So it's people like John and Marty and others as well that support this. Now, in that number is not including any of you folks. Some of you pay here through PayPal, but you're not included in this number. You are still included as the regular offerings from the saints. So where am I going with this? The final arrow on the right, at midsection of the first page where it says total income, you add them all up together, $97,589.45. That's your income. Now, before you start getting all giggy, and think you've got a lot of money here. We're going to see how we spent it, okay? So now we're going to go to the expense side. I want to draw your attention to the Bible conference. That cost $26.38 a couple weeks ago to take care of the speakers, the kitchen supplies, the travel, the hotel arrangements, the fellowship meals, and etc. Now, what you won't see on here is that we also, of course, got the... You do see it up above, and you don't need to go there, but you've got $1,063 that through the offerings that we remember. We took two offerings for the conference. Those total a little over $1,000. So that comes off the $26.38, and then we have a net deficit of $15.75. But you folks need to realize that we also do special fundraising events for the conference throughout the year, and we also have money in the savings account earmarked for the conference as well. But I just illustrated how much the conference cost to put on, and this is pretty consistent for the last two or three conferences. It's always in this neighborhood. Going down, now this is some of the area where it impacts our expenses dramatically. The adjoining grounds and building, I had down there a little over $5,900 this year. Folks, this building is old. It was built back in the 50s for this portion, and I think maybe 10 years back in the fellowship hall later, and then in the mid-90s, the Sunday school. And, for example, we are not probably current with the latest technology for heat and air in this facility. So what has impacted us for almost $3,000 in that category is the boiler has had to have some exceeding costs to bring it up to code because we get inspected. What is it, David, every 3 years? Yeah. Every 3 years, the state of Michigan comes through to make certain that our boiler is up to code. And so we had to bring that up to code because we knew that we were going to be inspected, and we were. Also, we've had to replace a furnace down on the south side of the building. And then we've also spent close to $1,600 in the fire alarm system because the panel that was back there is still there, but there was a computer board in there. And that was shot, so, pardon me? Brand new panel. So that was shot, and so we had to replace that. So you need to know why that number is high as it is. Then going all the way down, I want to go to the total insurance expense. Now this would be the last expense on page one. Pastor Brian has shared with you that because of the same-sex marriage issue, not only are we doing things with our constitution and etc., but we feel that we need to take some proactive steps to have a policy in force that will protect us in the event that someone desires to sue us for not marrying them. And the current carrier that we have is a good carrier as long as it has to do with if you had a burst water pipe or a tree fell over the roof and you had to replace that. We are covered in the event right now if someone were to challenge us legally on where we stand, but no one has yet, and we don't see anyone in the immediate future, but we're not going to wait for that to happen. So we are in the process of meeting with an insurance company. It's called Brotherhood Insurance, and that's all they do is insure churches. And they're the biggest provider in the state of Michigan. They are meeting with me here this coming Wednesday. They have to do an audit of the building. They want to see how many square feet, what other exposures they are. But the reason that we're going to them is because they offer a legal department of no cost to a customer of theirs that will walk us or anybody else that they cover will walk us through the legal ramifications of our Constitution, if we need it tightened up, etc. But more importantly, they have a better line of defense on how to protect against a lawsuit. So we are going to be looking at that. That number could very well change as far as premium cost, okay? So I just want you to be aware of it. That's what we spent last year. I don't think it's going to be dramatically greater, but there could be some increase to it. You need to be aware of it. When you'll find out will be next year when we have our annual meeting. Page 2. We're now going to go to the parsonage allowance. Again, all these other numbers, folks, are important for you, but I don't need to go over those numbers at this time. You need to also understand, we're going to talk about this in another presentation, but the parsonage allowance is, as it says, it is what Pastor Brian gets on a yearly basis, or really on a weekly basis. It's $385 each week. Oh, did I really? I was just seeing if you folks were paying attention. Well, it took you a while. I was counting 1,001, 1,002, but you did well. All right. Oh, interest expense. Okay, well, that one there is a little bit easier to swallow. That one there is the interest, of course, what we've paid for the mortgage. Every month we have a mortgage payment. I'll share that amount with you. Past page 3, thank you. And but that's how much we have spent thus far for our mortgage interest. Then you can go all the way down on page 2 at this time, and the Vacation Bible School, which you can see all the costs and everything that Aaron Gogorski and the other ladies and everything have spent on the Vacation Bible School, was a little over $1,700. Now, again, the money in their savings account and everything, plus they've had some other individuals that have given money or else they have not charged for the supplies and everything, have made that a fact that we do not have to bear that expense. But I wanted to go ahead and show you what goes into that ministry as well. Now we can go to page 3. As I mentioned, Pastor Brian gets $385 a week for not only the message, but folks, you know, I don't get here in time. Well, I do get here in time, but because of what I try to prepare the people coming in for, I can't sit down in the Sunday school room. I just can't. And so some of you folks provide me with Pastor Brian's notes on the Sunday school session, which you folks get. And I'm amazed, not only are they 7 pages on both sides, I'm amazed at that, but I'm amazed at how much time and effort go into that activity, week in and week out, to say nothing, again, of the messages and everything, and all the work he and Mrs. Ross, as well as with you saints, I know that, but I'm talking about your pastor right now, and what they do for this ministry to stay viable and to continue. We have not given them any type of an increase since, well, it's over 4 years ago. Now, we did talk to Pastor. We have a good communication with Pastor Brian, and we had talked to him about it a couple years ago, but he and Becky felt that because of the financial condition of the assembly, that it was not the time to go ahead and to address that, that they felt that they could still get by with what they were getting. What has changed that now is because he has moved closer to Podunk, and apparently Podunk has got more expensive land over there because the property taxes have went up, and so has his mortgage, I don't know, some prepaid points or something. I don't follow all that stuff. But the bottom line is here is that he has made it known that he would like the board to consider reviewing his pay package, and I think you saints would be embarrassed to admit that, you know, we take care of everything else, but we don't take care of the pastor and his family. And so the board is going to be talking about that at our next board meeting. We have some numbers and everything in place, we believe, but we just want to go ahead and confirm them. And that gives you a couple more weeks to talk to the elders and share with us your thoughts. So again, that is going to be coming up, but I wanted to share that with you. And let's see, then the utilities expense. And you can see that it has cost $6,000 to heat and to cool this this building, as well as the water and sewer. And then we have Pastor's cell phone in there as well, which you say, well, why does he get a cell phone? Well, it's not so much he gets a cell phone. We need to make the church available for folks who want to call, find out about our ministry and the hours and et cetera. And so it didn't seem, I guess, more efficient to have Pastor juggle 2 phones, one for him and one for the church. So we just went ahead and combined both of them, and we pay that portion. So that is what I have here. Okay, now then we have, that is it. And now you can see how much of the 90-some thousand dollars you have spent, and it's $56,949. And it gives you a profit of $40,000. You're going to say, well, Wayne, where's that? You may now go to the next sheet, the balance sheet. This is what everyone wants anyway. How much in the checkbook? All right. As of the time change, whether you were current with it or not, it did take place. And we have in the checking account, you can see the savings account. You add all those up, $20,266.80. That is liquid cash. If we need the money tomorrow, go to the bank, write a check, and we can drain all those accounts for whatever we need it for and actually come up with $20,000. Okay? Part of that $40,000 is in those accounts. Then as you go all the way down, that, of course, is an asset. It's a current asset. Then we have fixed assets, and they're all broken down there for you, but you add the fixed assets with the current assets, and this building and everything in it, supposedly, along with the checkbooks and savings accounts, has got a value of a little over $767,000. Okay? Now, again, that's all appraised value and et cetera, but if anything were to happen, it's whatever the market will bear type of thing. But we still take a lot of effort and everything to make certain our numbers actually demonstrate what we have spent over the year and accumulate those accordingly. Then I want to show you the liabilities. We have credit card liability, which is credit cards. There's four or five individuals that need the credit cards for the things that they purchase on behalf of the church. There's an accounting system in place. They turn the slip in for documentation. Nothing gets paid until I get the slips. And then when I prove that it is a legitimate expense, and they all have been, folks, so I don't want you to think that none of them have, then we go ahead and pay the bill. The reason you see it up to $1,100, and normally it's not this high, is because a lot of the conference expenses went against that. So they're already showing up on this report. Because those expenses were made prior to the 31st. And then we have the mortgage payable. And that's right now stands at $252,116.55. So that's how much that you are obligated to pay Mercantile, as Pastor Brian mentioned. And after the board meeting, we will go ahead and probably disperse that $2,600 against that. But every month, of course, you still make payments. And I'm going to get to you with that in just a moment, that reduces that amount after the interest is acknowledged. And so the total liabilities is $253,299.74. And so there are your liabilities and equity match, and you balance out at $767.96. That is your income and expense report and your balance sheet for the last 12 months, Saints. Any questions that are not going to be lengthy, so we can make certain that the ice cream doesn't melt. Nothing. And again, folks, I know I don't want to, you know, I want you to know that I'm serious about this. I will defend any number here that you folks feel that you need an explanation. So I'm not trying to, you know, skate on this at all. You just need to see me afterwards, and whatever your question is, I'm sure that if not at this session, I can bring the documentation to explain why it is. Now the last one. This is our proposed budget. And there you don't have arrows. You're just going to have to follow me on some of this stuff. First of all, this data is projected using November of last year through October, of course, data. So everything that was on the balance sheet and income statement that we just reviewed, I've taken those numbers and I've tried to project what areas are not going to be the same and what areas might be increased. And so I just want to quickly go through this. The first one, of course, that shows up is the adjoining grounds and building. We spent close to $6,000 last year. I don't see that being duplicated this year. I feel pretty confident, unless something comes up. Of course, we have no way of knowing that if we budget $3,500, that should be adequate for us right now. So that one there I wanted to draw your attention to. Then we go down to the custodial services and supplies. Of course, because of the saints who take care of the lawn and the maintenance and et cetera, as well as the snow plowing, that we don't have that cost either, We are looking at a cost for the year of $260. That's just mostly for the janitorial supply. So we were able to go ahead and reduce that expense for the last 2 years because of you folks being involved in that activity. Here we go. The insurance expense, as I told you before, is $2,800 currently. It's under review, and that will be adjusted. I'm not certain which way yet, but you'll get to find that out as we make a decision on what way we're going to go forward. The kitchen, to keep this kitchen going for your comfort and your enjoyment, and with regards to the supplies for all the fellowship gatherings and everything, a little over $1,200. We're going to budget for that. The donuts, it's just $35 a month. You can do the math, or a week, excuse me. You can do the math. It comes out. And I don't know if Mr. Meyer is going to go up or down, but we're staying right here at $35 a week. So you can see what it costs. And we've got that budgeted. The mortgage payment, $2,083 every month. And so over $25,000 for the year. And you can see it breaks down to, on a weekly need, $481. We got the copier. We don't have a contract with it anymore, folks. But you need to be aware that it is a older machine, and Sylvia puts it to work. And so we're just thankful that it does what it's supposed to do for us. And if anything comes up of a major expense, we'll have to deal with that. But right now, I think $240 covers most of the things that are involved with that. I talked to you again about the salaries for Pastor, and I still have that into what he's currently getting, but that will come under review. And then as you go down the utilities expenses, I bumped them up because of, I think, just inflation alone for the utilities. And you're probably experiencing it at home, too. And so you can see that I have that at $126 on a weekly basis. And the internet expenses, we got $775 for that. Again, we have the cost for the websites, and then also for the media, for being able to put the CDs and the DVDs in the hands of the people who desire them. So with that being said, I project, and the board has concurred with me, that we're going to run approximate $66,000 budget going into this year. And what does that do on a weekly basis? It means that our goal for the week is $1,280 for our offerings. Now, with that, as an encouragement to the board, may your demonstration of your affection, if I can use that word, for this ministry, may it be demonstrated through your gifts. And all that we would ask of this is that whatever you have purposed in your heart to give God the preeminence, that it would be done consistently and it would be done faithfully. For those who have been with this presentation for 8 years, I think I say every year, it helps us to be able to manage the bills. Even though you're gone, which we understand that people are gone, but when you come back, if you can make up the time that you were gone as though you were here, it makes covering everything. And so that is my, I guess, appeal, plea, begging, if I can use that word, to you. But other than that, folks, Pastor Brian said it was somber in here. I don't know why it's somber. It's a great celebration. God gets the preeminence. This is a great report. We haven't been able to do that in previous years. So I'm happy that I was able to share these numbers with you. I apologize for going over, but I think some of you folks need this clarification. With that, I'm going to call Pastor Brian. He's going to close, and then you folks will be dismissed for the next portion of this activity. It's yours. Oh, you need that too.
All right, thanks, Wayne. Appreciate all of your... We're really not that much off where we normally would be. We appreciate all your indulgence and patience as we go through these things. It's important for an assembly to make sure that all of the members of the congregation know what's going on, and that's what we try to accomplish with these meetings. If you have any questions about anything that I said, see me. If you have any questions about anything Wayne said, see Wayne. And with that, what I'd like is I'd just like to ask everybody to stand and have the musicians to come forward.
And I'm going to ask Brother Tom Dibble, the chairman of the board. I didn't tell him I was going to do this, but Tom, would you mind coming forward? And I'm going to ask Tom to close us out with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing, and then please stick around and enjoy the cake and the ice cream and the fellowship. And there is a short meeting with Nate for the youth group, so get your cake and go to the meeting.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to fellowship with each other, to edify each other. And we, from the discussion Brian had this morning, we understand the importance of that and the foundation that we build through edification to do the work of the ministry. We thank you for the good report we're able to present to the saints this morning that's in considerable contrast to the financial situation that we experienced not that long ago. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the people that do things in the assembly here that make it possible for us to come together, and we appreciate that. We thank you for Pastor Brian and his family, for Becky and the boys, and what they do week in and week out that make this a place that rightly divides the word of truth and is a beacon in a crooked and perverse nation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.